Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679. EURC.org, 760-745-1679. EURC.org. Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Anxiety, depression, alienation, these are things that people go through in this life, and they only seem to be intensifying. It's hard for us to understand why Christians face these things at times, why Christians themselves, who have a God who is sovereign and in control, seem to experience failure and letdown, being crushed, the weight of it all, and they can't process how, if we have a sovereign Lord, a sovereign God who is overseeing everything, why things are going like this. We are going to look at, back in the book of Exodus today, chapter 4, 5, 6, these sections where Moses is being called to go out and lead the children of Israel out from Egypt and bring them into the wilderness to lead them to the promised land, how it all started off so badly, how everything seemed to have fallen apart, how when he went before Pharaoh, it was the greatest letdown he could have experienced, and he wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. He had no more energy for the battle. If you've ever been there, well, this will be a message for you to help you look at things from the perspective of God's promise, from the perspective of the covenant of grace, and how God encourages his servants who are feeling these things, who are feeling beat down and depressed, who are struggling with the hardship of life, how the Lord encourages us with the gospel of grace to give us strength so that we might continue on to the praise and glory of his name, to be a worshiping people, a people who enjoy him, a people who worship him in spirit and in truth. We're going to look at all these things today on Abounding Grace Radio. So thankful that you take time to tune into the program. You can visit us on the web at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. And do please call us if you have a moment. We'd love to hear from you. You can also write to us there via form via online at agradio.org. You can download the app so that you can take Abounding Grace with you wherever you go, and you can find us on Facebook. We have gone to a lot of work to make ourselves available to you. We hope to hear from you, and we hope Abounding Grace Radio is a blessing to you. So here's the message from Exodus chapter 6 today. This is Exodus chapter 6. It's going just as planned. And that is God's assurance to us that things are happening according to his perfect will, and he will bring to completion this good work that he started, even when it looks like everything is falling apart. Exodus chapter 6, it's going just as planned. Everyone at times becomes discouraged and feels like giving up. I wonder if there are any sitting here right now who are feeling that, going through that, know that. The weariness of things, the struggle of things, the monotony of things. Nothing more painful really is when you have believed something with all your heart and you've given your life for this, you've accepted this as truth, and then everything goes up in flames. Everything. And you know you shouldn't respond to the Lord disrespectfully. You know you shouldn't. Deep down, you love him. Deep down, he has
You know he's done wonderful things for you. But there is a real frustration at times over his ways and his doings, which the scriptures tell you over and over. No one can figure out. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Who can figure out his ways? Past are they finding out? No one knows the mind of the Lord. What is the Lord doing at times? At times our frustration can be so great that we might even cross a line in it. I believe that's what you have this morning. Moses is falling apart. Did you catch the end of chapter 5? He is falling apart. Have you ever fallen apart? Falling apart, this servant. And we really do see how the Lord treats somebody who falls apart. I think that's what's remarkable about this passage. You would wonder, what does the Lord do with all these unstable people in the Old Testament who you thought were such pillars, right? Well, that's what I want to explore with you this morning. In our passage, the Lord has the great goal of encouraging his servant, of helping his servant. And there's so much that we can learn from this, learn of our own discouragements in life are due to the fact that often, and that this is something that we have to be willing to hear, that often the discouragements do come because we're not listening to him. He tells us something over and over and over. He keeps telling you what he's going to do. And it's like a wall goes up. And we still, after all of the sermons, after all of the preaching, after all of the comfort my people, we still can block that and not listen. It's not that the Lord has been silent. It's not that the Lord has told us, been silent about what he's going to do and how the plan is going to go. The issue really with Moses is that in the moment, this tyranny of the circumstance has so overcome him, he can't hear it, and neither can Israel. And that's, I suppose, an initial thing to say when the current circumstances that we're in and face drive our understanding of everything. Often it's as if we no longer see the forest for the trees. And what the Lord is doing for us this morning in this text, before he unveils and he demonstrates his power of deliverance, he takes them to the brink. That's what this is. And you see this in people's lives. He takes them to the brink. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this kind of distress, I want you to notice how the Lord renews with his word his people and unfolds for them his plan and calls them before it unveils to believe him no matter what is in front of them at the moment. That can be really hard. That can be really difficult when everything around you, Psalm 46, has fallen apart. When even if what the mountains be picked up and are thrown into the midst of the sea, if everything crumbles, how am I to go forward? That's this kind of situation. It's a bad one. I have to admit, this is a bad one that's in front of you. It certainly is not anything that Moses expected. It has already been hard enough for Moses to accept that God was calling him to go do something that he viewed was impossible. Go and deliver Israel from out of Egypt in bondage? Are you kidding me? This is Pharaoh. It scared him. He lacked abilities, he thought. How in the world could he overturn the mightiest kingdom of the world at that time? With the mightiest monarch, the most power, the greatest armies, he has to go in there riding on a donkey as a little desert shepherd with one staff. Humanly speaking, he knows it's impossible. But remember, the Lord had promised to be with him. I'll be with you, Moses. The Lord said that. I will be with you. I'll be with your mouth. I'm gonna help you in what you, I'm gonna teach you in what you should say. And guess what? I'm gonna plunder that nation. You watch what I do to them. It seemed just awesome, didn't it? I think there was a moment where they all got really pumped up. God would be with him. God would put on display his power. Pharaoh would cower. Pharaoh would duck and cover and run and be done with them forever. Israel would march right into the wilderness and triumph. Moses believed it. The start was just magnificent. What a start this all was. Imagine the energy that developed when he goes into Egypt and he stands in front of the children of Israel. And remember last time, he starts doing the signs. He takes the rod. He goes, hey, guys, check this out. And the thing becomes a snake, and he grabs it, and then he puts his hand in his bosom and becomes leprous and pulls it out, and then he throws some water on the ground, and it becomes blood. Can you hear the roars that day in Egypt? Can you hear the roar of God's people? It's come. Chapter 4 ended by saying they believed. The Lord had visited them. Chapter 4 leaves us this visual of the entire nation prostrate, the people, all the leaders, believing and bowing and worshiping the Lord. What a glorious moment. 400 years was ending, and Moses had done everything that God commanded. He went, he packed up his family, he put him on a donkey, he rode through the long wilderness, he performed the signs, he spoke God's word, and it was glorious. What was last week? Everything came crashing down. Moses boldly goes on into Pharaoh's palace, and he speaks God's word. You let the people of the Lord go. Let my people go. Thus saith the Lord. There was the formula we were introduced to last time. Everything fell apart. It couldn't have gone worse. I mean it. It couldn't have gone worse. Pharaoh did not only tremble, he mocked the name of the Lord. Who is the Lord? Why should I obey him? I don't know him. And then he says, let me tell you, thus saith Pharaoh, Moses. They can go and gather straw now. They're not going to the wilderness. They're idle. You've stopped their work. They're out there roaring, thinking you've brought deliverance. I'll tell you what they can go do. Thus saith Pharaoh, they can go gather straw. I'm not providing it anymore. And they can run around frantically and figure it out, but I'm not reducing the quota. That's what they can go do. Somebody walked up to me last week and says, you know, I don't think Moses handled it real well after that. Yes, that's exactly correct. Not only did he not handle it well, I think he cowered. He starts saying things like, well, you know, it's going to all get bad for us too if you don't let us go. It really, everything fell apart. Complete failure. Imagine how perplexed you are. You're walking out of Pharaoh's palace. Now the children of Israel are afflicted with more bondage. They're all ticked off at you. You have royally ticked off the nation. They are angry. They basically curse him. God, judge you. Your actions have messed up everything. You've made us stink. What a thing to say, huh? You've made us stink before Pharaoh. You know how difficult that must have been? You really believe you're following the will of the Lord, but nothing shows that he has any power to affect the natural course of things. Nothing. It's just perplexing. And I think we all should feel the cry of Moses at this point. In verse 22, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Are you troubling them? Why'd you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil, and you have not delivered your people at all. Notice the word evil. I believe that's absolutely right. We have to feel that. He is pouring out his heart in frustration. I don't know if you caught it, but, and I don't, I thought I saw that the ESV here didn't correctly get it. Yeah, they did. O Lord is all capitalized. The Moses returned to Lord, and then you'll notice there that when he uses the Lord's name, he does not use the holy name. He is intensely frustrated. He will not use the name at the burning bush, to which the Jews misread and thought, well, then we can never use the name. The point was he is refusing to use the name because he's angry. He is angry. It's almost as if, when you look at this, why have you brought evil on this people? If you connect that to verse 23, and he says, Pharaoh has brought evil, it's almost as if he's linked God's actions with Pharaoh's. Notice that. He's linked them together, and basically he has concluded, if God is sovereign, you brought the evil. And you stand back and you say, well, what's he struggling with? He's struggling with what everyone has ever struggled with about the Lord, his sovereignty. In light of life. Well, now he's really has come to believe it, and he refuses to see Pharaoh as acting so independently. So all he can do then is link together Pharaoh's actions and God's actions as bringing evil on people. Hold that thought. And why did you ever send me? This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted to do in the first place. And then probably the greatest cry of frustration, you haven't done any deliverance. We haven't seen any of your deliverance. And notice this, at all. There is zip, there's zero, there's none. You've failed. Are you getting a sense of his prayer? He is pouring out his heart in frustration. And in the process, I would conclude, shows unbelief, impatience. And if I heard a prayer like that, I would say rebellion, right? But let's be honest. Have you ever felt any of those things? Maybe you weren't bold enough to voice it, but has it been in your heart? You ever struggled with the question, if God is good and God is sovereign, why this mess? How is he the one not at fault in all this? If you're truly in control and you're truly seated on the throne and we believe that about you, why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting Christians, why are you letting their heads get cut off? What about the fall into sin? How many times have you heard that question from somebody? How could a good God? Are you the one bringing this? Why are you putting us through this? You like doing this? I don't see deliverance. It's hard when you've made a conscious choice and you believe him and nothing corresponds to what you've believed. I tried to validate the story and I had some feedback from somebody, but I heard years ago that there was a student at Westminster who had sold everything and spent everything to uproot his family. He went to seminary, and then he went on to get a PhD, and the week after graduation, he dies in a car accident. And you think, what in the world? Think of the wife who's struggling with faithfulness to God's promises. Think of a family committed. I remember a family committed to the Lord who backed over their child in the driveway. An employee takes a stand about working on Sunday, gets fired. A man runs his business in a God-honoring way as opposed to the crook next door, his goes under. A woman rejects looking at many unbelieving men. She wants to be married, so she really does follow the Lord, and she looks hard. She can't find anyone to marry. No man comes around for years. A parents do everything they feel is right to train their children in the Lord, and they see those efforts go up in flames. Why are we taken to the brink? Real cries at times, aren't they? And real discouragement, sorting out how to live by faith in this, all that's been said to us. And humanly speaking, when what we're being told is an absolute impossibility, it really becomes hard. How is God going to get Israel out of this one? It went from bad to worse. And this is about as bad as it could get, unless he just killed them all. And you know where it leads. Bitterness. Bitterness. Well, I look at Moses and here he is. But you know, in all of this, I find one thing really right about Moses. Israel runs back to who to get them out of the mess? Pharaoh. Moses is at the footstool. Moses is before the Lord. He's at the throne of grace. And he's bearing all. He's crying out to the one he knows is sovereign, who in this case seems to have abandoned him. And you know how important that is, that point is? Moses pouring out his struggling heart to the Lord. Is there anything worse than feeling that God is against you? What do you do when you feel that God is against you? You just become discouraged and go the other way, don't you? Last place you want to be is here, singing praise to the Lord the Almighty. This is Yahweh he's talking to like this, by the way. If I were spoken to as a pastor, let's just hypothetically do this for a minute. If I were spoken to as a pastor and one of you were really mad at me and you said, you have evil intentions, your leadership is evil to us, and you haven't done your job at all, and you know what, you're a terrible pastor, I don't trust you anymore, how do you think I'd respond to that? Well, I don't know. I really don't. I'd probably try to be nice. I would fight back a little bit. I might use the kind of line, knock it off. I might say, you're acting terrible. I might say, you're terribly disrespecting the servant of the Lord. I would be prone to throw the book at you. I'd be prone to start reading the Ten Commandments. Really hard, by the way. What about your children? What if your children walked up to you and with this kind of frustration and came to you and poured out and said these kind of things about your leadership as parents and assaulted you and said, you're not fulfilling anything you've said as parents, and I mean, you really felt this. You're doing evil to us. What would you do? What does God do? This is why I love the Old Testament. This is why I've always believed you want to see the character of your God, study it. What you have in front of you is the most tender, gracious, kind response of the Lord to assure his servant of his promises. What does he do? What does God do? He preaches a gospel sermon to him. The most encouraging covenant of grace sermon we get in the Old Testament. He preaches it. And the goal is to encourage his servant and strengthen his servant and reassure his servant and recommission his servant. Notice what he says. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Didn't say, knock it off, Moses. For with a strong hand he will let him go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. Moses, you watch what I'm about to do to this guy. You watch what I'm about to do to this guy. In a few chapters, the Lord is going to say, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Moses, you're going to see why I'm allowing this. You're going to see why this is all going the way it's gone. Last week, my title to the sermon was, it wasn't supposed to go this way, and I've titled the sermon, It's All Going Just as Planned, Moses. I'm not going to allow Pharaoh to overcome my plans for you. You watch what I do. He's going to drive you out with his arm. Somebody walked up to me last week and said, do you know what Pharaoh says when they leave? He says, bless me, please. You'll see the good intention that I have for you, Moses, and not evil. You'll see my purposes unfold and my plans to bless and not harm. I hold his heart. You're absolutely right. I harden it and I soften it as I please, so that right now you're going to see what I do to him, so that you will understand what salvation is and what it means and what it looks like. That's the whole thing.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.